Hey everybody, welcome to the Goots Cast, or the Goots, it's WrestleMania week, the comedy clubs are reopened, but we haven't stopped doing this fucking podcast.
If it's a football team, how come it's a baseball cap?
At least every sports team has a baseball cap, bro. I'm wearing a Raiders hat.
Isn't that really, like, if you think about it, that's really, really fucking stupid.
Well, I mean, they're the best hats to wear. I mean, what are you going to make, a sombrero with the fucking Raiders?
No, but I don't know. How come there's no fucking, like, Stetsons with fucking, like, the like football
who logo? Who would wear those? This is like, boom, I'm wearing it. There you go.
Or a flat cap. I guess you can't see shit with a flat cap.
What do you want? Like one of those newspaper boy hats that says fuck
you? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Sailor's hat. Like Sailor's hat. Hey, I'm a fan of the Rams.
So, no, the Sailor hats have to be hockey players because they're like.
Oh, yeah. Like, who doesn't love the Colorado Avalanche?
All right, dude. It's night one of WrestleMania week. You're right there. We got nine nights to go. Night one. What if I can't believe this is like they're like, oh, this will get people to go watch wrestling.
We're doing Raw first, right?
Yeah, we're covering Raw and last week's NWA Pro Power. What the fuck they call it? Power. Because I've been paying for that shit, so we're gonna talk about it.
Wow, this is the go home Raw for WrestleMania week. Now, as you guys know, as I mentioned before, my theory is they do not give a fuck about how they do on WrestleMania because they already got their money for WrestleMania. They already sold it to Peacock. If it draws like 50 people, that's Peacock's problem. That's not WWE's problem anymore. That's why I don't think they're even trying. And I think I was proven right tonight because they're not fucking trying.
No.
They're not trying at all, dude.
They are barely, dude, they put more effort. I was like thinking about the Bobby Lashley Drew McIntyre feud when they did it in June in an empty building, and it was a better storyline when they had an empty building in June when they were in the Performance Center and they were building
Backlash.
That was a 20 times better storyline.
Dude, they are not trying. I really don't think they're trying, and I think they have every right to not try. Because okay, how many people do they have to draw for WrestleMania, like live, like the attendance?
I don't know, but they didn't sell out. I know that.
Oh, I feel like. They don't. Number one, they don't have to sell out.
I have a theory. I have a theory of they're gonna have a big. I have a theory that when we get to it, I think they have a way. They're gonna do something trying to get people to watch night two. But I'll tell you in a second what my theory is.
Yeah, I don't think they need to. Like, they don't need to sell out because it's during a pandemic. They have that excuse, and I think if they had then WrestleMania card to be determined. At WrestleMania, they would still sell tickets because there are people who
are going to stay in the Thunderdome until August 3rd.
August 3rd. So wait, besides WrestleMania, everything else is going to be in the Thunderdome till August 3rd?
Okay. I don't understand. Like, so me and Andrew, before we're talking how everybody in the New York comedy community is going back to normal, like nothing fucking happened.
Mm-hmm.
I guess maybe Vance is like better safe than sorry. But at this point, if the virus is going away, like we're all pretending it is, we all decide like it's not there anymore. I really think they should be doing outdoor shows with at least a few people because
cool wrestling.
Yeah, wrestling, WWE even. If we're just gonna pretend like this shit went away, maybe unless Vince has some government information we don't know and he's like, I'm not fucking leaving. They should really. I mean, go to like I would prefer high school gyms to this Thunderdome shit. I really would like 20 people in a high school gym.
I don't think he wants fans.
You think he's like happier without the fans?
Yeah, I think he's 100% happier without the fans because he doesn't have to. Because I think fans sometimes ruin his plans.
Yeah, but they also
like they'll cheer at things he doesn't want being cheered, and they'll boo at things he doesn't want being booed. When there's no fans, he can fucking just fucking like can it in
and dude, he does then whatever pay he wants. 20 people to sit in high school gym and cheer the way you want them to. Because this is fucking brutal. Like, I'm telling you, I would rather they do the Grizzly Pair. They were set up a little ring in the Grizzly Pair and have Comedy Pete be the only audience member.
Crying.
Ooh, yeah. I would rather they do that than this shit. Because fucking, this is brutal. This is there's only so many billion-dollar deals you can get until people might be like, why the fuck are we giving this idiot $1 billion?
Dude, there's a lot of idiots out there, and he could say You'll think that, but the Saudis gave me money, and fucking NBC gave me money, and Fox gave me money. That's already three fucking idiots.
But the Saudis can't even get their return because they're owed two events a year, and they didn't do one.
That's different. If there was no pandemic, they would have been getting this
money. I would prefer they just go to Saudi Arabia and perform in front of Saudi Arabians the rest of the
year. I'm actually okay with them at being at the wherever they are right now. I'm used to it by now. I'm 100%.
Dude, this show's so bad. I feel like the crowd makes
people. I don't think it's the crowd that makes the show bad, right? Come on, we're gonna go over it. You can tell me if it's like, you know how I know it's not the crowd. We'll go over each segment and you gotta ask yourself, if a crowd was in this, would this fucking make the
segment? No, but I feel like if there was no pandemic, the last year would have been 20 times better than the year we watched.
Oh, yeah, of course. But this is just where we're at right now.
I know. But like now, but dude, we're over here in New York pretending the pandemic's over at all the comedy clubs. So why can't they go pretend in the rest of the country with the WWE?
Oh, don't get me wrong. You are right. It's a show would be better in front of crowds like everything else. But I don't think he wants to be in front of crowds is what I'm trying to say. I don't think Junior wants to be in front of crowds. Okay. I think he's fucking fine.
Also, Trump called him and said, gave him some real info that we don't have.
Yeah. He's like, hey,
the virus is going to mutate in a month. And then
got any money? Can I borrow some money? All right, so the show starts off with Drew McIntyre. He comes out, talks about the sacrifices he made, talks about how his mother had chemo. She was going through cancer, and instead of going to be by her side, he stayed in America because he was following his dreams. Is his mother still alive?
No, she's dead, I think.
Oh.
I don't feel bad for the mom?
No, I was wondering if he... I'm wondering if he... Like, in real life, wonder if he regrets it or not.
Probably regret it when he got fired. Now he doesn't. He's like...
Oh, okay.
I bet you now he doesn't. I bet you he regretted it when, like, he got the call, you're fired. He's like, damn, I missed my mom dying for this shit. Like...
Yeah, that's
like when sad. He was jobbing to Hornswall, he's probably like, God damn it.
I can't believe I'm fucking doing this. My mom's sick and she could use. By the way,
when my mom was dying, they tried to convince me to go in as the manager and see like the worst fucking show. They tried to convince me, and like, oh, if they call you that your mom died, you can leave. And I'm like, no, because I'm gonna murder you if I miss my mom dying to see this horrible fucking comedy show. I'm not,
if. No. For someone who had a parent was going through chemo just last year, mm-hmm. I will say I would have sacrificed anything to make sure I was there for him. Because especially since my father passed away right afterwards, it's like at least I was there for him during the chemo. That's just how I feel. And I'm just curious. But
I'm not judging him, but like if I was at fucking Caroline's seating the Maggio Brani show, my mom fucking croaked. I would have been livid. I would have like fucking blown up every comedy club in the fucking.
But I guess we all have different relationships with our parents. Anyway, Drew's talking about sacrifice. I was like, you know, my mom had chemo. I didn't fucking care because I want to wrestle. And then
Bobby
comes out.
There's this dude, cool new gimmick, 3MB. I got to fucking be there for it.
Yeah. Bobby Lashley comes out, saves the fucking segment. He cuts a pretty decent promo. He makes some good points. He was like, you've been like, it took you 17 years to get here. Man, it took me 16. He's like, you're a good champion. You were a good champion, bro. But, you know, your time's done. It's my time now. He's like, it's my time now. And he's going off about that. Drew McIntyre is doing this thing where he's trying to be funny, but he's trying to be serious at the same time. You guys know what I'm talking about. The whole John Cena thing. He's like, hey, yeah, you know what? I should be an Uber driver. I should be an Amazon driver. Or how about this? How about I kick your ass? It's like, where do you go from like, I should be this. I should be that. I'm going to kick your ass. It's just, it's stupid.
Andrew Lee's hulking up. He's taking off his
clothes. It's stupid, yeah. And then, what's his name? Baron Corbin. No matter how stupid I thought Drew McIntyre's promo was, it wasn't as stupid as Baron Corbin's promo. He comes out and he's just like, I agree with MVP. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take you out. I'm going to beat your punk ass, Drew. It was like, that's exactly how he delivered it.
Yeah.
It was It was fucking stupid, dude. I hated this whole fucking
thing. I hated it. I'm so tired of them reminding us that Drew got fired and then he did this. Like, dude, can you imagine if every time Steve Austin walked out, he was like, and then they fired me in WCW, and then I didn't have a job. And like you just keep reminding, like, you know, like, yeah. Dude, all you do is say it once. You have to say it every fucking time you walk out. And
what? I got fired from WCW? What?
I think they wanted me to be a jobber.
What?
I think Vince thinks it's impressive that, like, he stopped believing in Drew and then Drew came back. But it's like, I don't know. I don't want to keep hearing about it. You know?
No, I don't want to keep hearing about it either. I really don't. I would love to hear him just like say something about kicking his ass, not about this Uber driver shit. But it was stupid. And then we get even stupider. Because Matt Riddle is with New Day and they start talking and they're making pot references. But it's really bad because, like, the thing with WWE, when they do these subtle things, it's never good. Because after they do the subtle thing, they have to beat your head over it that they did the subtle thing. Mm-hmm. Like, because they're talking about these tag team matches and he's, like, got to face retribution or whatever the fuck it is. And I think Matt Riddle was saying, Sheamus, like, is smelly, but I gotta face Mustafa Ali, who's sticky. And since he's sticky, I gotta break him apart and grind him up. Get it, guys? Pot, ooh. And then he walks away. And then after that, they could have just left it at that. It would have been fine. But New Day's like, am I high? I need some cookies. I'm like, what the fuck are you guys doing? You're like fucking stupid. Just leave it the way it was. Why did you guys have to, like, keep adding these little extra tags that are not funny at all? It was stupid. It was bad.
Matt Riddle segments are fucking horrible. I told you before, I'm so tired of the New Day.
Yes.
I know the internet, we have to pretend that we want them together forever, but they're so fucking stale. And I think a gimmick change would do wonders for them, but whatever. I mean, this sucked.
I think children want them to be together, right? Children. Because kids would probably like New Day.
Children, they're getting old, children. I mean, if you were 5 when they got together, you're 10, 11, 12, I don't know, you're in college. I don't know. These guys have been together way too long. Just fucking.
Have they really been together for 10 years?
No. They've been together since 2015, or maybe 2014. No, there's no way to be.
So about, like, okay, we'll say at least 5 years, at least minimum 5 years, right?
Yeah, maybe at the end of 2014 they got together.
Yeah, so if they've been together minimum 5 years, and if you're a 10-year-old watching wrestling,
6 years, definitely 6 years.
Okay, then you're probably 15, 16 years old right now. So you're probably, like, if you're a boy, 15, 16, you're probably more interested in vaginas than New Day or something like that. So. No, I can see how if you're 10 and you're 15 and 16, you might want to still see them together. I don't know. I can't relate to kids anymore. I don't want to sit together.
By the way, the WWE, this is another thing where we've now pretended. Dude, I know you're saying, like, I hate to, like, be political right now. I know you're saying, like, I think things are going to go away. But everyone's being way too lax. Well, like, WWE wrestlers don't have to quarantine this week. They can go wherever they want.
Oh, so you mean they could just keep doing what they've been doing?
Yes, they can keep doing without.
So nothing has changed, though. Okay. Nothing has changed. Right. Nothing has changed for them, you know? I don't think they were keeping to themselves.
No, I know. My point. Like, can you at least, like, now that you're going to be in front of, like, strangers, can you at least fucking make appearances? I don't know.
They gotta make appearances. That's why this week they're allowed to go where they want.
No, they're still doing virtual meet and greets.
Oh, okay, that's good. Good for them. They probably all got the vaccine because they're doing the whole throughout this whole show.
Austin Creed got it. I know that. Xavier Woods
got it. He got it, right?
Yeah.
Speaking of Xavier Woods, he's in the. Dude,
I guarantee you though, there's a bunch of them that don't believe the vaccine. They're not kidding.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Nia Jax put out a thing she doesn't believe in the vaccine. She's not getting that. She's like, I'm healthy. I was like, okay, keep telling yourself.
Yeah, She looks healthy. She looks like she's the healthiest person.
She's the healthiest wrestler.
She is. She's healthy.
Very healthy. You can tell she eats
very well. She's very healthy, yeah. AJ Styles versus Xavier Woods, the first match. This match is stupid as fuck. This match is happening. Almost is standing out, just standing. And Kofi Kingston grabs the microphone and he goes, hey, look at me. And he throws the microphone at Almost. He just throws the microphone at Almost. Almost like looks at it and then he just like slowly lumbers his way. Kofi gets in the ring and rolls out, distracts AJ Styles for Xavier Woods to roll him up for the win. This is the buildup.
Have this scary feeling that Almost is going to go into the ring and hit Xavier Woods with like one punch and pin him.
I don't think Almost can wrestle because the way they're hiding him, I don't feel like he can wrestle.
Unless like he's like amazing and AJ Styles is like, dude, imagine like he's the greatest wrestler. Like he's like this incredible like high flyer and AJ Styles is like, let's not show it until WrestleMania. And he tags Almost in. He starts like doing drop kicks. And that would be kind of funny.
Possible because the same thing kind of happened with Pat McAfee, right?
Like they're just hiding it.
Yeah. And the same thing kind of happened with Dominic in a way, right? Where I wasn't expecting Dominic's match to be amazing.
I do have a scary feeling he's literally going to hit Xavier with a one punch or pin him.
I feel like he's going to do like the great Kali chops. The overhead, the fucking
top,
boom, boom. I feel so bad
for Kofi. 2 years ago, Kofi stole the show at WrestleMania. I was there live. A year ago, AJ Styles stole the show with Undertaker, and now they're stuck in this shit. It's like there's no point in ever doing good in life. You just get fucking fucked over the next year.
Yeah. Well, they'll say at least you got a spot at WrestleMania.
You're lucky to have a match.
Bad Bunny arrives in a Bugatti, a white Bugatti with what's his fucking name? Damian Priest. And then they leave. They arrive in the building. Then Braun Strowman comes out. The biggest idiot in WWE. Those are their words, guys. Not mine.
Those are their words.
He's a fucking idiot, guys. Braun Strowman is the biggest fucking idiot in WWE. And they
thinking this is getting him over?
Yeah. They do this really long recap of why he's an idiot. Yeah, of how stupid he is. And he's in this steel cage in the ring and he's talking because he's going to have a steel cage match with Shane McMahon. And he goes, you call me stupid? There's a lot of people like me and I'm going to beat your ass for all those people. That's right. He's going to beat up Shane McMahon for every fucking idiot out there.
There's a lot of fucking idiots in the world.
Yeah. And I'm going to beat them up for you. I'm going to beat you up for them, Shane. Shane comes out, does a stupid promo, leads nowhere. But it's going to lead to match number two, Braun Strowman versus Elias and Jackson Riker, 2-on-1 match. Braun Strowman hits the power slams on both of them for a squash victory. Remember when you just talk about how Kofi was over and AJ Styles. Remember when Elias was really
I couldn't believe that this match was a real thing. I am not saying that like fucking Elias should be like the champion, but dude, mm-hmm. how do you have him lose a 2-on-1 match like this? Like, dude, like, just rehire Steven Cutler if you're going to fucking do this shit and have him and Jackson Riker lose this
game. Yeah.
Dude, it's like, Elias was over. He was over even 6 months ago.
Remember when he did that segment with Kevin Owens where he got booed for like 6 minutes straight?
Yeah.
And remember when he had WrestleMania weekend in New Orleans where he gave that fucking impromptu concert?
I remember WrestleMania 35, him and Cena, then the next night him and Undertaker fucking, and like, dude, it's like, one thing if he beats Elias again, or if he beat, but why would you have Elias? Like, it's just like, you make this guy look so fucking stupid. And if I was Elias, I would say to him, how do you expect me to recover from this ever? How do you expect me, short of Elias, like, fucking destroying Roman Reigns and Drew McIntyre at the same time? How the fuck is his career supposed to recover from this? How the fuck are you ever gonna? You might as well just fire this fucking guy.
Yeah, he looked indistinguishable from Riker tonight.
And you know what? It'd be one thing if Braun Strowman was destroying him to build up a match with like Brock Lesnar or CM Punk or someone huge, like, or Edge or fucking Kenny Omega, or I'm just throwing out like crazy names. Like, okay, it's one thing for Braun Strowman to beat both these guys up because he's got like a huge match at WrestleMania. Dude, he's beating them up to get ready for Shane McMahon. So if he can beat up these two guys this easily, why the fuck would I believe Shane could even last a second with him? But of course, they're going to have Braun Strowman sell for Shane like a fuck because he's a fucking idiot. Mm-hmm. Like they had fucking Undertaker sell for Shane and Kevin Owens sell for Shane.
Yeah. Well, when you're the son of the billionaire, I mean, and it's your fucking playground, you kind of get to do whatever you want, you know?
Dude, it's just like there's so many people. What about the two idiots in Retribution? Because at least with Donovan, the Dunk, whatever the fuck, T-Bar.
No. Call them by their real names. T-Bar and Mace.
At least with T-Bar and Mace, you can always just like take the mask off later on, make them themselves again, or put them back in NXT. Like, that would have, like, with these two dudes, like, dude, you fucking, it's just so stupid because, like, you make Elias look like a Honky Tonk Man was a pussy, but Honky Tonk Man and Greg Dan Valentine didn't get beat up together. You know what I mean? Like, you make him look worse than fucking Honky Tonk Man, bro. And that guy's character was, I'm a pussy who can't fight.
I think Elias is done.
I think
I don't know. I don't think they see anything anymore.
I don't know why, but it is.
Yeah, I don't know why either, but I think maybe he might have pissed somebody off. I don't know what he did, but he ain't got it.
He did his job, and they weren't having
it. Yeah, he did his job, yeah. Well, is there something wrong? Yeah, there's something wrong. What's wrong? What did I do?
He showed up to work!
Your fucking job, you fucker.
He showed up to work, and he did what we told him to do, so fucking kill him.
All right, so Miz and Morrison, they got some paint cans. It's red paint, and he decided to paint the white Bugatti. They paint all over it. They come back from commercial break. Bugs Bunny finds out about it, and he's just like, oh, I'm fucking mad. He's mad. He's looking at his Bugatti, and he's mad. And as he's mad, Miz and Morrison beat him up from behind. No fucking Damian Priest. They run away. Damian Priest comes up out of nowhere. He's like, hey, are you okay? Hey, he goes, like an idiot, he goes, was it Miz and Morrison again? I was like, no.
No, it was what? Ricochet.
It was Tozawa and Archer. was it Miz and Morrison again? Stupid.
What was that?
Really fucking stupid. I couldn't believe Adam Pearce got there before Damian Priest. It was very weird. So Rhea Ripley is getting interviewed, and they're asking her, hey, you gotta have a match against Asuka with no build-up to it, just getting a fucking shot out of nowhere.
Right? Even though you got beat up by Raquel Gonzalez.
You didn't win the Royal Rumble. You haven't had a match since the Royal Rumble, but we're just giving you a match against Asuka at WrestleMania. But you're tagging with her tonight. Anything about that? She's like, oh, we're gonna coexist. We gotta coexist, man. So at the start of the second hour, we get match number 3, Asuka and Rhea Ripley versus Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. This is the second like opponent tag team that Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler is facing. Because they just had this kind of match against.
This is all they do with these two. They just
If
you have a few, you have to then fight these two ding dongs.
You have to tag and then fight these two. That's basically what has to happen. Yeah. And this is where it gets stupid. So they're having a match and they're tagging in and out. And then like near the end of the match, Rhea Ripley just turns on Asuka and attacks her, throws her into the ring, and Asuka gets hit with a knee strike by Shayna Baszler for Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax to win. Why didn't Rhea just attack her from the beginning if she was going
to
suit it?
Because they told her we need to waste a couple of minutes. Can you just fucking? Because it's like when they wrestle to waste time. Remember I said that there's always a match that they just like, you know, we just need to waste time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's definitely wait. Time was wasted in this one.
I have a theory.
Yes. What's your theory?
I have a theory. Remember, you know how they have this women's tag team turmoil match?
Yes, they do.
So, you know,
describe it for the audience. So then in case they don't
know. So it's four teams and it's a gauntlet match, basically. So
no, it's not a gauntlet match. Is it just four teams at once?
No, I think it's a tag team turmoil is always like a gauntlet match.
Okay, so the four teams are the Riott Squad, mm-hmm. Dana Brooke, and what's her name? Mandy Rose, Lana and Naomi, and the fourth team is Tamina and Natalya. Okay. They're gonna fight night one. Winner fights Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax.
I have a theory that there's a fifth team in this. And it's going to be Becky Lynch and Charlotte. And then they win. And then, because they didn't sell, I don't think they... And then they're going to use Becky Lynch to try to get more people to buy Peacock and to fucking buy tickets. Because then, you're like, Becky Lynch now has a match night two at WrestleMania.
That's a very far-fetched theory.
Well, I think they're going to have Becky Lynch show up at WrestleMania.
That's possible. I don't know if she's ready, but that's possible.
I mean, Brandi Rose is really going to pop out that kid and show up in AEW the next day, according to her. So,
yeah, but Brandi Rose is probably going to be an absentee mom.
But you know what? Like, if theoretically, once you have a kid, like, this is the amount of time. Like, if they said to her, hey, listen, April, it was supposed to be originally April 2nd or whatever. It was, like, last week. Can you be ready? And she knows that's when I have to be ready. You know, for her surprise return, she could be training. You know what I mean?
But wait, Becky already had her kid, right?
Yeah, December. Like mid-December.
Had it in December, so how old is the kid now? 4 months old already?
Yeah. So you can abandon it now. It's fine.
Yeah.
Like Brandi Rhodes. Just fucking abandon
it. Yeah, 4 months. It's practical. You tell me he doesn't have a job yet.
If I'm getting you a job. But so that's my first theory with Becky Lynch. My other theory is because they want a big wrestler to walk out to start WrestleMania night one because the I think my other theory is Bayley's going to walk out night one and demand a match, and Becky Lynch will come out, and it'll be the first match at WrestleMania will be Becky Lynch versus Bayley. And then Becky Lynch could defeat Bayley and then leave again until it's better. Or those might, I do think we're going to see Becky Lynch at WrestleMania. She's going to be the big surprise and the big, like, you should have ordered this. You missed her return.
I would be okay with her showing up. Yeah.
I think she's the only. She's the only person on the roster they have that's like Rock Stone Cold level. And you want a surprise. By the way, speaking of surprises, I don't know if you heard this, but apparently TNT has told Tony Khan no surprises on Dynamite.
Yes, I saw that. They don't because they want to be able to promote it so they get more viewers.
That, I think that's the dumbest fucking thing in the world.
Yeah, but that's not their – that's not Tony Khan's decision.
No, but I'm saying – what I would say if I was Tony Khan, I would say, listen, surprises are how you get viewers. If Eric Bischoff and look, that show, that fucking Sting show, that got people talking. And it's not Sting's fault it is his fault that they fucking bungled the storyline. People were fucking buzzing. People that weren't even like not AEW marks were buzzing about that episode. And I think like surprises are what's going to keep that show going.
Isn't TNT? TNT actually. It was AOL that sold WCW for like $5 million.
Yeah.
They're not really the smartest people.
No, well, it's different people now. But like, I get promoting, but like, dude, like surprises are so fucking key. Hopefully, Meltzer got that wrong, because dude, without surprises, who gives a fuck about that show?
Well, didn't they sign AEW for 4 years?
They did.
So maybe they're not the smartest people. Right, like,
that makes sense now why Impact has not like attacked them, because if they have to announce Impact could attack us next week,
yeah, that's true. That's probably what happened. They were like, hey, do you guys have any surprises? Oh, yeah, we were gonna have Rich Swann come. Whoa, no, we gotta put that out.
You gotta promote it. Rich Swann's coming to beat the shit out of
like, they're like, dude, why do we have the reporters? Like, didn't you watch WWE when Retribution was attacking? They fucking promoted
it. They announced it. They're like, hey, Retribution's coming.
Yeah. You know they know they're wrestling. Okay, that's your theory on Becky Lynch showing up. You know what my theory is? That they already made their money and they do not give a fuck. So they're not, this is just going to be a four-way
fucking. But dude, they want money. The best time for Becky Lynch to walk out is WrestleMania. I mean, they're still paying her money. Might as well get your money's worth out of her.
How are they going to get their money's worth out of her?
By having her walk out at WrestleMania. And you'd be like, oh, that was such a cool moment. I'm glad I got Peacock.
Well, what would that do?
it makes people happy. It would, what would you're paying, dude, you're paying this fucking idiot, dude,
the business of making us happy.
But dude, you're paying this woman, she's sitting at home for a year, you can have her walk out at WrestleMania and have like all the fans, oh, I'm so glad I got Peacock. What would you rather do? Pay her to just keep sitting at home to watch 60 minutes or have her walk out in front of the people?
I think if she's sitting at home, he's probably going to do the thing, because he does it with everybody, where like when your contract comes up, they go, well, technically you didn't wrestle during
this. I know, but she's like a money maker.
Contract suspended, right?
They can, and, but she's a,
if but she let me finish. Let me finish. You're right. She's going to get a huge pop when she comes out. People are going to fucking want to buy all this stuff. I think they're waiting for when this is like really fully over, where they could really get more like pack out whatever stadiums they can. Right now, they're only allowed to sell a certain amount of tickets. And I'm pretty sure they could hit that mark.
No, they didn't. I heard they didn't.
Oh, well, I feel like
they're probably... Go buy tickets. You can buy a lot of tickets. Go buy tickets. You'll see. Don't buy tickets because you can't go.
But. Yeah, I think if they... Like, I think they want to save her for when they can sell a lot of tickets.
I think if she walks out here and just has... Okay, let's say that... I think if she... Even if she just waves to the crowd, if she walks out here and she has, like, a new T-shirt and then they can sell the T-shirt on the website, I think... And then you don't have to have her on the show. You can have her come back on the crowd. But I think you should have her just to sell T-shirts and, like, figures and shit. Like, you know...
Possibly, yeah. Yeah, I don't think he cares if we're happy. I really don't think.
I get that, but he can make money off her. He can make more money off her walking out at WrestleMania, even if she just fingers herself and leaves, than he can make a lot of money
off her. No, he can definitely make a lot of money.
But if she's just sitting on her fucking ass.
I think he's saving it for when he can make the most
amount. I think you can do both with it, because if they're not going to be in front of a crowd by August, the earliest, people are going to be missing her again.
Yeah, I have a feeling we might be. They might be in front of, like, hey, in August, you could fill it up as much as you can. I mean, that's just what you want. I feel like that's a possibility.
That's a possibility, and then, yeah. But you can have her come back twice. I mean, you know.
Yeah, it's true. But we'll see. We'll see what happens with that.
I wind up being Dana Brooke wins the fucking thing and then loses night two.
Yeah, that's probably what's gonna happen. Yeah, it's gonna be something stupid as fuck. You know what? You're right, though. Bayley is surprisingly absent in all this WrestleMania, so I wonder. They've got to have a
plan. Well, I mean, if Becky Lynch just fucking knocks her out, I mean, that would be a good way to kick it off, and just to have Becky Lynch debut a new shirt, and you could sell.
I mean, that's. Shit on this I would. Stuff. I'm not saying it's a bad idea. I'm just saying I think it would be a fun idea. I just don't know how realistic that would be.
Well, I think she's just sitting at home. She's not injured. She just popped out a kid, so fucking. Dude, if she can walk out and punch somebody in the face, then leave. She doesn't have to fucking wrestle Jay White for 60 minutes, although they could do that.
There's a lot of things WWE could do. There's a lot of people sitting on their ass that not being used. They just don't fucking use them.
They wanted John Cena, and he can't because of Peacemaker, and Undertaker was, I don't know if they wanted Undertaker, but
yeah.
Becky Lynch, to me, is a bigger star than John Cena right now in WWE. I'm not talking about the world.
Oh, yeah, in WWE.
So...
Yeah, I just don't think he. I think he made his money. He's good. So speaking of money, there was a money stable in Raw that's no longer exists, and MVP was the guy in charge of it. And he's standing there, and all of a sudden, Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin confront him because they're mad because I kicked out of this money stable that was the Hurt Business. And Cedric Alexander has an opportunity to cut a good promo, and he fucking stumbles over his words. He's like, "You parasite, you has been." And Shelton cracks a smile because you could tell he was about to laugh. He's trying not to laugh. It was fucking bad. Shelton, you had your opportunity. You fucking blew it. You are no Lindsay Dorado, my friend. And
no, well, apparently Lindsay Dorado is not Lindsay Dorado. Remember we thought they had plans for him?
Oh, yeah. No, anymore. No, they're not. I haven't seen them in a week.
They have plans for no one.
Yeah.
Your plan is you're lucky to show up to work.
Yeah. The fucking reporter comes out of nowhere and she's like, oh, MVP, what was that about? And he's like, ah, it's nothing. Don't worry. And then we come back from commercial break, and Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler and the Somalian is walking.
The same Somalian.
Oh, I'm sorry, the Somalian. And the reporter comes out, and she asks this long question. And I think Nia Jax had the line at night. She goes, do you want a sip of water? That was for the longest question I've ever heard. And I was like, yes, that was a very long question. And they're asking about the tag team turmoil match, and all the fucking tag team jobbers come out, and they're all like, I'm gonna win. And Billy Kay comes out. This was stupid. This is the build to WrestleMania, guys. This was the build to WrestleMania.
Yeah, this was pretty bad.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if it's Billy Kay and Bayley as a tag team.
No, they're saying it's going to be Billy Kay and Carmella. There was a graphic out that had them.
Oh, so there's a fifth team already in there. Billy Kay and Carmella.
Yeah, but you could have a sixth. I mean,
it's... I guess you could have a sixth, yeah.
As many as you want.
You could have as many as you want, yeah.
Yeah, you could have fucking Victoria and fucking Tessa Blanchard walk out and yell at the black people. I mean...
Why Victoria? Imagine,
I don't know. Imagine. She's not a racist. I'm just thinking, like, you know, they gotta have her walk out with someone.
Imagine they did. We're like, Victoria, we want you back. And then, like, we're gonna have a tag with Tessa Blanchard. They come out, and then Tessa Blanchard just fucking starts spewing all this black hate. And Victoria's just like, dude, what the fuck's going on, right?
Like, well, you wanted to come back. This
is how yeah, she's just like, what the hell's going on? We go to match number four, Cedric Alexander versus Bobby Lashley. Shelton and Cedric attack Bobby Lashley blatantly in front of referee, but there's no bell. Match hasn't started yet. Lashley beats up both of them. Bell rings. He has a fairly entertaining match with Cedric. It's not like 100% squash. Cedric's getting some offenses. But at the end, Lashley puts on the Hurt Lock for the win. Afterwards, Shelton Benjamin tries to attack. He beats up both of them. I thought they did a good job making...
This was actually a good match. Not a good match, but I was surprised at how well they made our Cedric look. Are you still there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I heard you. Yes. Yeah, I agree. They made Cedric... Like, yeah, it wasn't a complete squash.
I really thought they were just going to have Bobby Lashley just destroy him, like they kind of did with Shelton, but they let him get a lot of stuff in, which either means that Bobby Lashley fought for that, or they see something in Cedric Alexander. I'm going to say Bobby Lashley fought for that, and they're going to...
They had some time to kill. They were like, you go ahead, hit your dive and hit your neuralizer.
Kid. It was just it's because Bobby Lashley's supposed to be his unstoppable champion. It was just funny he was selling so much for this guy.
Yeah, yeah. But at the ultimately, then he beats the shit out of both of them. At the start of the third hour, we get Damian Priest and Bad Bunny come out to the ring. They're all mad. And Damian Priest goes, oh, it's always 2-on-1. How about this? Now we make it a tag match at WrestleMania. So me and Bad Bunny versus Miz and Morrison. Then he gives the microphone to Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny tries his best to speak in English. Talks about how he's always been a fan of WWE. He respects everybody, He respects this, respects that. It's all about respect. Keeps talking about respect some more. And then he starts
speaking in Spanish. It's about a lot of respect.
Yeah, a lot of respect, and then he gives up on the English, just starts speaking in Spanish, goes all over the place, and then he goes, you respect me, right?
And I respect you.
Yeah, and then Miz and Morrison on the Tron, and they're like, oh yeah, 5 weeks at your tag team match, and that's it, that's the whole segment. It was a very long segment, that was very long.
I will say this, I think they should.
You know what he said?
He respects you. That's what he... That's
no,
what he
no, said. No, in Spanish.
No, but he should have cut the whole promo in Spanish. And then Dante... I was going to say Dante Nero. Yeah, Dante Nero comes out. He's the new manager. And Damian Priest says, and that means we're going to beat you up, Miz and Morrison. Because he sounded so much more confident in Spanish. He sounded like really confident.
No, they should have led Bad Bunny speak in Spanish the whole time, because that's his mm-hmm. native language, and he's just more comfortable with, like you said. And then just have Damian Priest be like, I'm just curious of actually what he said. I actually would like to know what he said.
He respects I think the gist of it was he grew up loving WWE, and he respects WWE, and he even respected and loved the Miz as a fan, but Miz has disrespected him, and he's a man, and he's going to prove it at WrestleMania.
Can you understand Spanish?
No, but I think that was the gist of what...
Oh, you just made... You fucking ass, you just made it up.
That was the gist of what he was trying to say. That's what he wanted. That's what they... wanted him to say. I guarantee you they gave him a script like fucking idiots. They're like, hey, could you say all this?
Yeah.
Like, I guarantee you, like, some fucking 20-year-old, here, Bad Bunny, read this, and Bad Bunny sitting there like, I respect you, I respect Miz, I respect...
I will say this. I do think he really respects wrestling.
No, he does.
Because he made a point of saying, like, I was watching this with my dad and my brothers, and like he watched this in Puerto Rico, and he watched this. He's like, I respect the clones.
He didn't say the wrestlers from my country, and it's like,
yeah,
did you say the colognes or something?
Like, yeah, that? He was like, I respect the Ric Flairs. I respect he wants people to know that
he respects wrestling.
Yeah, and I was like, yeah, I get it, man. I get it. Yeah.
And I'm glad he respects them.
Yeah, because I think he knows. Like, a part of him knows, like, some people will find what he's doing disrespectful to wrestling, right?
No, yeah, there's people, all these white losers are.
Yeah, and there's, so and he just, I think, dude, like, for everybody who's out there, let me ask you guys a question. If Junior comes up to you and goes, I want you to have a match at wrestling.
Give it to Tyler. I don't know.
I respect wrestling too much to say yes to that.
These fucking nerds, if they fucking had like,
give it to Kona Reeves.
Yeah, if they were like a celebrity and this happened, like, absolutely not. I demand you rehire Andrade and give him a world title shot. Fuck you, Vince. Like, that's why, like, they don't have any money, because
they're idiots. Do you really think if you're given that opportunity, you're going to be like, no? And I bet you Bad Bunny first did say no, but they were like, no, you don't understand. We want you to do it. I really want you to do it. And everyone's telling you just like, and he'll pay you. Like, I'll even pay you this much money. I really want you to. Do you really think at that point you're going to say no, you fucking idiot?
No, dude, I would. If WWE wanted me to have a match, if I was a celebrity, I would agree to anything. I would agree to getting squashed by like fucking Carmella. Like, I would just agree to anything.
If WWE offered me to do a match at WrestleMania, they wouldn't even have to pay me. Do you realize that? They wouldn't even have to
pay me. They have to pay me. They have the money. They can pay me.
No, but if they were like, hey, we won't pay anything, but if you want, you can be in a match at WrestleMania, you would still say yes.
Oh, dude, yeah, I would say yes.
Yeah,
dude,
exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Any match they propose, I would do. I would team with Hornswoggle and take on Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler if that's what they want.
Yeah. And so I don't want to hear any criticism about how this guy's in a fucking match, because everybody will fucking do it. So go fuck yourself.
But I would say, like, if let's say they asked me in March and it was in April, I'd be like, can I do next year? Because I don't want to look like Michael Che and Colin Jost. I want to actually look like
Yeah, if they asked me to do it, I would get in the ring, and I would say, the only thing I would do differently would be like, I don't respect this business. You guys are a bunch of fucking carnies. I don't respect Ric Flair.
You know what I think would be a really good gimmick, and they would never do it? This would be a really good gimmick. It'd have to be some indie wrestler nobody knows, right? Mm-hmm. But like, this guy just shits on WWE on the internet, like makes JD from New York videos, right? Or like Meltzer videos, and he just shits on wrestling. And then one day, and this has to be the fans coming back, and one day, like, Drew McIntyre, someone says, you know, like, you couldn't do what I do. And then, like, the next Monday on Raw, this guy comes out of the crowd and beats the shit out of, like, Drew McIntyre, and then grabs his phone and tweets how bad Raw sucks in the middle of security's taking him away. That would be a funny gimmick. Like, an internet troll who fucking thinks WWE sucks becomes a WWE wrestler.
I mean, it's kind of like Pat McAfee in a sense.
But it would be really funny for the guy to still be bitching and moaning about Raw after he beat up whoever is in the ring.
It would be done. It would be really cool if it was like a nobody. Because Pat McAfee is a somebody, so it's a little different.
No, like a nobody. Like, but yeah, WWE, like, have to have this guy like 6 months ahead of time.
Yeah.
And hopefully he has a following, making videos shitting on WWE. Like, just shit. And then finally, like, someone like Alexa Bliss, someone challenge, says to him, you couldn't do what we do. Yeah, I could. I have tickets to Raw on Monday. And don't be surprised I jumped the rail. And like, he jumps the rail.
All right. So Mustafa Ali's walking to the ring. Sheamus catches him and goes, hey, man, you got a match with Matt Riddle. I got a match with Matt Riddle at WrestleMania. And they're talking, and Matt Riddle rides his fucking scooter way past him. And then we're going to go to match number 5. The dove shit is still coming out of Matt Riddle's feet when he does the fucking flip.
Yeah, what is that? What is that supposed to symbolize? That his feet smell like birds? What the fuck is that supposed to symbolize?
I don't know. That's, dude, do you know that the, you know what they didn't do today? You know how Braun Strowman, when he's been like,
it's a choo-choo noise, right?
Yeah, but they didn't do it tonight. They didn't do the choo-choo sound for him.
Dude, I think they don't. I think they secretly hate Braun Strowman.
Yeah,
I think they don't like him.
I think they really think he's mean. I think they really do.
I think they do. Well, he comes. Have you ever gone to his Instagram, his private Instagram?
No,
he's pretty fucking dumb, actually. He means well.
Saying that a wrestler is dumb is like saying that, I don't know, like Asian people are good at math or something like that.
It's, dude, you know what the funny? The
other thing, a lot of wrestlers who are really
funny. Did you hear him on the WrestleMania last year? They covered WrestleMania. He said he was suicidal right before WrestleMania and stuff. I feel like they like don't like that shit. They're like, we're gonna punish you.
Why was he suicidal right before WrestleMania?
He kind of thought his career was going nowhere. He was right. And he kind of thought, because he wasn't at WrestleMania. Remember, he wasn't on the card.
So he was feeling suicidal?
He was like, and Vince said to him, like, Vince said something like, you're my new Big Show. Like I'm always going to use you. Yeah.
And then he was like, Big Show, I don't want
to. It's even worse.
Why are you trying to make me feel worse?
I think he was right to think, like, you know, here's the thing about Braun Strowman is that, like, a guy like him, is that, like, if he were to quit, no, they're not going to want, like, the fans are not going to be like, I hope Braun Strowman goes to AEW. And, like, I kind of feel like he's trapped in WWE because he's such a WWE-style wrestler. Mm-hmm. He can't go in the indies and reinvent himself like a Cody Rhodes. He's kind of always got to just be around WWE.
Yeah.
So if they treat him like shit, he just has to, like, kind of try to make it work, and I don't think he can, which is what's happening.
You know what? I would be suicidal then, too. it's just fine, whatever he is. Yeah, I don't think they like him either. You know?
I don't think that. I don't know what they think they're doing with Matt Riddle. I got new.
I will say this, though. I think they should keep doing that. They should keep doing that choo-choo sound. I like it. I actually do like it. I think it's so bad, it's good. Like these fucking doves that fly. And like the doves that fly out of Matt Riddle's feet. I actually like that too.
No, I hated that. I was like, this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen.
Every time they do it, the commentators are like, whoa, what was that?
Like it's real birds flying out of
it. Whoa. It's always their first time seeing it
happen. Oh my God. There's birds at Matt Riddle's feet?
It's so weird. It's the weirdest thing. I don't know why. I don't know what it symbolizes either. I don't know when. I bet you he was like,
is that like it? He's so high that he sees birds when he.
Yeah, it's like, get it, because he's always fucking high. Like, I don't know what that means, but all right. So we're going to our fifth match, Mustafa Ali versus Matt Riddle for like the third time in a month. This is like, we've seen this match so many times. This was the pre-show match at Fastlane, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
And then they had a match again on Raw, I think, the following week. So this is the third time these guys are fighting. And actually, it's not a bad match, but we've seen it so many times. And Matt Riddle, I thought this was actually their worst turnout because there were some moments where it was very, very choreographed. Matt Riddle hits the Bo Derek for the win. Sheamus was on commentary, but did nothing. Did nothing to build this fucking matchup against Matt Riddle at WrestleMania.
It's nobody cares about this fucking match.
Yeah, nobody cares about this.
This match did nothing for me. I mean, I think Mustafa Ali's dead in the water again. I don't know.
They built Matt Riddle to the point, to such a stupid point that I want to see Sheamus beat the shit out of him.
I mean, I don't like Matt Riddle. I never did, but now I really don't like him because he's bad on the show and. They've ruined all these guys. So let's just move on.
They ruined them all. Drew McIntyre cuts a promo about I can't even tell you what. Yeah, I don't know what it was about.
He was fired at his mom.
Yeah. We go to match number 6. It's Drew McIntyre versus Corbin.
I'm fired, my mom's dead, whatever.
Yeah, he was like, damn it. I know in the beginning I said I was more glad I did this instead, but I think I regret that shit, man. Drew McIntyre versus King Corbin. This is a more competitive match than I thought it was going to be. It's very long. And now here comes the part that's stupid.
MVP is on commentary. Oh, there was a part that was stupid? I thought...
Yeah, MVP is on commentary, and he goes, Corbin, we didn't want you to, like, win the match. We wanted you to take him out. And he throws him the fucking cane. Corbin misses with the cane. It turns right into a fucking claymore for Drew McIntyre to win. If the whole point was to just take Drew McIntyre out, why didn't, like, MVP just attack him with the cane while his back was to him?
Here's an idea. If the whole point is to take Drew McIntyre out, why don't you just fucking have the Hurt Business beat him up? But you couldn't do that because you kicked out the other two members of the Hurt Business, you dumb fuck.
Yeah, no, it's stupid. It made no sense whatsoever. Nothing else happens, guys. Oh, Bobby Lashley comes out and they just have like a fucking face off. That's your build to
Bobby Lashley's losing on Sunday.
They just said,
yeah, they just want Drew to win the belt in front of people. That's all.
Yeah, I think so. Hey, you know what, Drew McIntyre? This is the second WrestleMania he's headlining, so. In a way,
well, it's not really I consider the guy who main event Sunday a real headliner. So.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Last year, though,
AJ Undertaker headlined night one. Drew did headline night two, so he did main event WrestleMania last year.
He main evented WrestleMania last year. This year, it will be Roman Reigns. Yeah, okay. Roman Reigns, Edge, and Daybreak. All right, so that's your Raw.
Let's talk about NWA Power real quick, and then we'll call it a night.
Yeah, all right.
NWA from last week.
This is episode number 23. Starts out with Kyle Davis. He's interviewing Nick Aldis, who is a much better talker than anybody except for MVP on Raw. And he talks, and then fucking Trevor Murdoch interrupts him. Trevor Murdoch has the worst fucking teeth I've ever seen. Do you see it? It looks really fucked up. He looks like he has Isaac Yankum teeth. They're like fucking like, they're like the color of your fucking wooden door behind you. It's disgusting. And he goes, hey, fucking, what was this whole fucking Adonis attacking me? Right? He goes,
I wish he, hey, fucking, she said,
what the fuck? And then fucking Chris Adonis attacks him from behind. And beats the crap out of him. I thought this was a decent segment because it sets up for what's going to happen later on this match. I mean, later on the show.
It was all right. It was a good talking segment.
Yeah, Nick Aldis is a good talker. You know, he really is.
He kind of feels like a fucking dollar store version of Harley Race or Flair, but he's all right.
Yes, but I think that he fits the show. That's what this.
Yeah, well, the show's a dollar store version of the NWA.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Mae Valentine is interviewing Aaron Stevens and Kratos, who are the tag team.
Aaron Stevens, what do you think about the mastermind?
Yeah, yeah, that's like, dude, that's
you can't make fun of my accent because you can't. Everyone's always no.
Yeah, that just means I speak more
languages. I speak 90 languages. That's why I can barely speak in any of them. So.
Yeah. This is Mae Valentine, guys.
Aaron Stevens, you got a match in the ring? What do you think you're gonna do?
She's interviewing these guys, and then fucking Sal comes out of nowhere and he goes, hey, can I get a title shot? And they're like, sure. And then he gets a title shot next week. They don't announce who his partner is. Sal Renaro, are you familiar with Sal Renaro?
No, maybe I was, and I don't know.
He wrestled in Ring of Honor. He's like a guy who's like never made it, but now he in this role where he's just like this kind of like creepy like dude, right? I actually like it. He's kind of like a creepy weirdo dude, you know? His hair's unkempt. He's just like a sleazy, creepy dude, you know?
We're fans of creepy weirdos. So.
Yeah, and he's pretending to be like a nice guy. That's every
creepy weirdo in comedy. I'm actually
really yeah. But that's why I think it's funny because the whole thing with him was like, he's like, May, I'm your best friend, May. I just want to be friends with you. And her boyfriend was like, do you not fucking see what this guy is trying to do? Like, he was the only one. He was like losing his mind. He was like, stay away from my girlfriend. And she's like, why are you being like that? And he's still in this character where he just kind of shows up wherever she is. You know, just keeps showing up. And he's like super sleazy. I actually do like his character. It's weird. We go to match number one, Jeremiah Plunkett versus Slice Boogie. And I will tell you this, if you did not know any of these guys, if you were watching, if you just saw them standing in the ring, you would not be able to tell who the jobber was. So it's like, which one? They both have terrible looking gear. Slice Boogie is a poor man's Eddie Kingston.
Slice Boogie is the dumbest fucking name. It just screams, I'm in the indies. I don't know why he doesn't change
that. No, you're right. It does scream, I'm in the indies. It's a shitty name. He's got really bad gear. He doesn't look like he looks like he has good upper body strength, but he just like everything else about him. Dude, the presentation.
Dude, you know what he looks like a Slice Boogie.
Yeah, he does. He does. He hits a Gotch style pile driver, which he called the dead ass driver for the win. It was a good showing by Slice. I can see they want to. This is the second win he's had now. They wanted to build this guy up, but if I was Billy Corgan, I'd be like, dude, we got to get you some new fucking tights. Like, this is not fucking working. Yeah, change your name too. What would you change his name to if you had to change your name? Change his name. Slice, just a slice.
Chopped cheese.
Yeah, chopped cheese.
Chopped
ramen cheese. Ramen noodle moonsault.
Ramen noodle moonsault guy. Yeah, I don't know, dude.
Ramen noodle moonsault.
Just Slice Boogie is just. It just sounds like I'm going. It sounds like it's fucking Spanish. Where I'm going nowhere. Slice Boogie.
Yeah. Bad Bunny's like, I don't respect Slice Boogie.
I don't respect you, Slice. I don't know why I haven't sound like that girl. Hey, Bad Bunny, you have a match. What do you think about? Dude, what do you respect? I heard you respect people. You respect me? No, I don't respect.
You know who used to say respect a lot? Remember Kenta when he was in WWE? Respect me.
I don't remember that. Okay.
Everything he was shouting.
I wasn't watching NXT back then.
Respect me. That's all I kept saying. Oh my god. Austin Idol comes out with Tyrus. Dude, I can't stand Austin Idol. Austin Idol cuts like every promo is still like an 80s promo, and I'm like, oh my god, dude. Like it's not the 80s anymore. Like he does that fucking promo style where he just like rambles, mm-hmm. You know, like the way fucking what everybody used to do back then. Like, what's it? Billy Graham used to do it where he was like, I'm the man of the hour, man with the power, man with the, like, he's just like, this guy's the talk of the land. This guy is the man of the hour. This guy is this guy. Like, dude, like it's so fucking cheesy. I can't stand it. Match number two, Tyrus versus Matthew Mims. He hits a fucking choke slam, which Austin Idol is calling Nuff Said for the win. I could do without either of these guys on the show.
Tyrus is just, it's just not a good look. You know what I realized? He probably has a job because Pim and Corgan are right wing. So they're like, probably like, look out for me, bro. We both like.
I can see that. You know what it is too? It's like before the pandemic, these guys, Tyrus wasn't there. Slice Boogie wasn't there. Austin Idol was only doing these lot of infomercials for his wrestling school. That's all he was doing. Right. And they lost a lot of talent. And they did replenish their talent, their roster with new talent, but this new talent is just not cutting it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not cutting it, dude. You know, it's just
not at all.
Yeah, not at all. Not at all. Yeah. You get Pope, who is, I don't even know what fucking title he's holding. The television title? What the fuck is he holding? National title?
Television title.
Fred Rosser, formerly Darren Young, is the challenger. They start doing this fucking back and forth promo segment. It is fucking, I couldn't even tell you what it's about. There's no point to it. There was nothing to take away from that. It was bad. Pope's another one who's doing like an 80s style promo. I'm like, dude, why are you doing an 80s style promo? Like, why are you doing this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't fit your gimmick. It just doesn't, you know? Melina joins the commentary booth for our next match. It is match number three, Thunder Rosa and Alex Gracia versus Sky Blue and Genocide. Alex Garcia and Genocide has been on Dark many, many times. This is my first time seeing Sky Blue. I will say this. Thunder Rosa, she has stepped up her fucking lockup game. She's got a good lockup now. A really good fucking lockup. Mm-hmm. Anyways, this match is good. This is probably the best match until fucking Camille comes in and fucking spears Thunder Rosa. I don't know why. It causes a DQ, and Melina comes in to kind of like comfort run Thunder Rosa and keep Camille away. And then Camille turns around and faces off against Genocide. They just have a face off. What do you think about this? This was the best part of the whole show.
Yes, I really liked this match. I liked all the girls in this match. I liked her partner. This was the best part of the show. You're right. Thunder Rosa is like quickly becoming their superstar. It was really good.
Do you like? I like the. I think she calls herself the blonde, the bionic blonde Genocide. That's the robotic looking girl with the fucking silver face paint. She's
kind of, she was good
size. Good size. Yeah, they look like they're building her up. What do you call it? I don't know why Camille attacked Thunder Rosa. She already won. She's number one contender. So why would you even need to pick a fight?
I guess because they need to have a feud. You know?
Yeah, I guess so. That part didn't make any sense to me. We're going to go to match number four. It is Nick Aldis is on commentary, and we get Chris Adonis versus Trevor Murdoch for the national title. For a 30-minute show. It's a 30-minute show, right? No, it's not.
It's a
50-minute show. It's a 50-minute show. They have three singles titles. It's crazy. It's a hardcore match, and Chris Adonis hits the master lock, or whatever they're calling it now, the Adonis lock. Murdoch passes out, so Chris Adonis is now the champion, the national champion. Nick Aldis, he makes sure to note that Chris Adonis is not actually in his strictly business stable, but he's an associate. So that's a takeaway. This match is forgettable. None of the matches are really watchable because even the match I like, it ends in a DQ, so it doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah, fuck them.
Power is not as good as it used to be. And a lot of it has to do with the replenished roster. And I guess I have to get acclimated to them. I have no idea, but their women's division is better, but their men's division is not in good places
right now. Thunder Rose is good, but yeah, the show is not what it was. They lost, it sucks. They lost a lot of their roster, but I mean, Tyrus is not the answer.
No, they lost, you know what they did in the men's, what they had in the men's roster was they had new wrestlers that you were very interested in and seeing and were entertained by them, like Ricky Starks.
Mm-hmm.
Zicky Dice and even the question mark. These were guys who you never got to see in TNA or fucking WWE or anything. This is your first time seeing them. To a lot of people was the NWA, and they were entertaining, and you were like, who's this new guy? I'm interested in seeing him. I want to see what he does next week because I don't know. I don't like, he's so entertaining, but I never get to see this guy ever at all, except for this one show. There's nobody like that on the men's roster.
Right? No, now.
Nobody.
No.
Yeah, no. They're all
Camille.
They're all
the only former person to me is like, I only get to see her on this show and nowhere else is Camille.
Yeah, Camille's the only one. And that's why the women's division is doing actually pretty good because they got all these new faces like Genocide and fucking Alex Gracia. But everyone on the men's side is all a fucking reject.
Yeah.
From, you know,
even Nick Aldis, who I know you love him and you want to have his baby.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's a reject too. I guess the only one I could think of that's really new that they're really pushing was like Slice Boogie, but fucking he is not doing it, man. He is not.
Yeah, he's a Slice Boogie, bro.
Slice Boogie. Yeah.
Guys.
That's it.
Tomorrow night, maybe NWA Power again, if not, but Andrew needs time to get to it. But if not, but definitely the Hall of Fame. We're going to be reviewing that. That'll be fun to talk about shit on.
Yes, it would be. All right, that's we'll that.
See you tomorrow night for night 2 of WrestleMania week with Andrew Lee, bro.